Chapter 23. Beginnings of Suspicion. Though they told him thrice, it took looking at it on a map for Brannis to puzzle out the name of the city they were visiting. Khajaljal's people were as mixed as the rest of northern Kesh. The gate guards were a comedic troop by the standards of most cities, a large, gaunt, black-skinned skeleton of a man with a companion who only came to Soria's shoulder and was shaped like a pumpkin. The squat man's head bobbed, causing his beaded hair to rattle as he laughed and joked with Soria. Brannis could follow none of the discussion, but it seemed amiable enough that he was not worried over it. It ended with Soria handing the guards a small pile of coins, and them waving Brannis, Soria, and Rakashi through the gates with their horses in tow. "What did you tell them?" Brannis asked when they were out of earshot.
"Nothing much. I know those two. The governor's coffers pay them to keep folk like me and Rakashi out. We pay them better to let us in."
"They eat well working against their orders," Soria said. Their horses bracketed them as they walked, providing a bit of privacy. "Oh, they have Juliana's job," Brannis observed, receiving a narrowed glare but no denial for the comment. "Did they say anything about Thomas and Abelay coming through here?" Brannis glanced all about, as if the mere mention of those names might have alerted vigilant ears to their quest.
"No, but I think they're here."
Chobi danced around with crooked answers, told me to find a piper by the name of Tran. The gate guards try to keep the graft to just taking bribes. Selling information would draw too much attention to them. Just getting the piper's name was a favor from old friends. "So this Tran will know where they are?" Brannis said. "But where is Tran?"
"He's a piper, so we ask around. He'll be on the streets somewhere, we just have to find where. First thing, though, we need to be rid of these horses."
The steeds they had brought had been ridden hard. With rest, they would be fine, but rest was a commodity that Brannis's little rescue party had in short supply. If Khajaljal was not the end of their search, they would need fresh horses before nightfall. Rakashi found a dealer willing to take the exhausted creatures off their hands for roughly a quarter of what they had paid for them just days before. As they wandered through the streets of Khajaljal in search of the piper, Brannis marveled at the city around him. It was not the size of the city, but the atmosphere that amazed him. As they wove their way through the twisting streets, peddlers with carts plied their trades on the move. Open fires served as cooking hearths for makeshift restaurants, with vagrant chefs doling out meats and vegetables both seared and served on wooden spits. Folks went about armed wherever Brannis looked, and not one of them appeared to be any sort of authority figure. A two-piece band consisting of a stringed instrument and a drum played a rhythmic, repetitive tune that mirrored the pace of the street markets, or perhaps set it. "Are cities like this common in Kesh?" Brannis asked.
"What? You mean so wedge-packed full of people you wouldn't see a seated piper if he was 2 paces in front of you?"
Soria asked in reply. Her head swiveled about as she tried to advance through the throng at a pace faster than the flow was currently allowing.
"No, I mean so wild."
"This is a free city," Rakashi said. "It is ruled, but lightly. Those two guards at the gate might be the only sign of law we see until we depart, unless there is great commotion."
"Not sure where we might find that sort of trouble," Brannis replied, fixing Rakashi with his best incredulous look.
The Takalish scholar gave a little shrug.
"I'm just surprised there isn't blood running in the streets with so many people carrying blades."
"Folks aren't usually looking to die when they go to market, armed or not," Soria commented. "Come on, keep moving. As long as these two musicians are in earshot, this is their turf. We need to get clear of them and listen for pipe music." The slog through the marketplace was clearly a chore to Soria, and an inconvenience for Rakashi to accept and endure. Brannis found himself quite enjoying the scene despite the urgency of their mission. Until Soria or Rakashi puzzled out their next move, Brannis's only task was to keep them in sight and not hinder the search. As they pressed through the glut of humanity clogging the streets, Brannis held one advantage over most of the crowd: height. Soria would have been considered above average height, even for a man, but Brannis could see over her and the rest of the crowd with ease. He could hear over them as well.
"Wait,
I hear something off to the right, Brannis called ahead to his companions. While he was no connoisseur of music, he recognized the windy melody of pipe music, carrying across the market and mixing with the nearer sounds of the string and drum performers. Brannis slowed to keep the melody from drifting away, but neither Soria nor Rakashi seemed to have heard him. He drew breath to shout above the din of the marketplace, as he watched them carried away from him in the current of pedestrians, but reconsidered. Instead, he stopped completely. Foot traffic grudgingly accepted that he was rather too large to shove out of the way, and flowed around him. He shook his head and turned to find the piper on his own.
They will find me much more easily than I could find them again anyway.
Brannis set off on his own course, using his bulk to move against the prevailing current until he got himself among a crowd headed the direction he too desired. From there he had only to listen, and to make sure that the merry, lilting melody had not faded from hearing. When finally the market crowd parted, it revealed a pocket of space reserved for a musician. A young man sat cross-legged in the gutter, bowl in his lap, playing a set of pipes. By the contents of the bowl, it looked as if it had been a difficult day. "Excuse me, are you Tran?" Brannis asked, leaning down so that he did not have to yell to make himself heard. The piper played on, giving just a slight shrug as the only indication that the question had been heard at all. Brannis smiled to himself and reached into his coin purse. The piper looked up at Brannis then, and the melody changed briefly to something a bit livelier. Brannis had not realized just how repetitive the song was until then, but guessed that the same few bars were played over and over, flowing from end into new beginning for as long as the piper had breath. "Are you Tran?" Brannis asked again, pointing with emphasis on speaking the name. He doubted the piper spoke Akkadian, but hoped that at least he spoke Tran. The piper paused in his song between measures and took the pipes from his lips. "Bojan," he said, and pointed to himself. "Tran." He pointed to himself again and shook his head. Brannis nodded to the piper and pushed his way to the edge of the crowd. He found a building to lean against and settled in to await retrieval. He looked up to the sky and wondered why, the one time in Kesh when he took the initiative, he made a botch of it.
"Ah, there you are. I am astounded how well such a large man hides," said Rakashi as he emerged from the throng. He was alone, or as alone as one might be among thousands of market-goers.
"I have not moved this past hour and more, waiting for one of you to happen by," Brannis replied. "If that counts as hiding, our quarry has nothing to fear from us."
"I hear why you might have come this way, now that I am here. Were you able to inquire about our piper friend?" Rakashi asked.
"Yeah, 50 eccles bought me the fact that he's not Tran," Brannis said. He spread his hands helplessly. "I figured, how many pipers could there be in one city?"
"The answer might surprise you. I might ask him myself, but since we must wait for Soria in any event, we should let her handle the negotiation. She is quite good at it."
"What's that supposed to mean?" Brannis asked, narrowing his eyes at the Tikalish warrior.
"She has a reputation. Let us leave it at that for now. In the meanwhile, we have had little time to get to know one another without Soria present. She most understandably occupies much of your time when she is present."
"Even when she is not, I think," Brannis said, eyes drifting off toward the marketplace, focusing on nothing.
"I understand you have been studying notes left for you by the Akkadian lord. Is Kyrus learning the spells contained therein as you read them?" Rakashi asked.
"You're just wondering whether I'm going to be able to kill Rashan so your side doesn't have to," Brannis replied. "Suppose I can't blame you."
"Wars are not won. Losses merely cease. I would rather the Kadran Empire claim victory than press on until the last of your people faces the last of mine, and one civilization is wiped from history. The death of Roshan Solaran, I think, would end the war."
Rakashi stroked his beard, pinching it between his fingers. "Well, I have no plan to attack Roshan anytime soon, I'll tell you that much. Kyrus is learning as much as I can stuff into his head each night.
but I figure the longer the wait, the better my odds of prevailing. What's another year's wisdom to a demon? To Kyrus, that's twice what he knows already. I only get one chance at him, I think. I have to make sure it counts.
Quite understandable, of course. I only ask because it is a great many lives that hang on the far side of your hesitation. There are children and grandchildren who will never be born because their ancestors die childless in this war. Untold generations lost, never to be recovered, Rikashi said.
What are you doing about it? Brennus asked. You seem pretty sure of yourself around here, and Soria told me you're a lot stronger in Vaedrus. You ever considered trying to save them? What have you been doing all this time? Your kind isn't known for shying from battle.
I could only buy moments of time for my people. I would, at best, be an amusement for him, I think. A departure from the slaughter of the helpless. I have fled before him as he retook Northern Cadren and Megrin. These days I have been removed from the war, Rikashi said.
Removed? Brennus asked.
His attentions pulled back from the market, and he turned to meet Rikashi's eye.
You took Juliana from the war, and hid her away on an airship of her own. She did the same favor for me, Rikashi said. The Twinborn are with you in this endeavor of yours, on both sides of the war. You are our champion, our hope.
I think this is why we don't talk much, Brennus replied. He turned his attention back to the marketplace, thankful that Rikashi did not continue speaking. When Soria finally discovered them, they were waiting together with their arms crossed, looking away from one another.
Well, don't you two make a nice couple? She greeted them. Was there a fight?
She seemed to find the thought amusing.
We finished what we needed to say between the two of us, Rikashi answered.
I thought I had found our piper, but the two of you had gotten too far ahead. I thought maybe I could manage on my own for a bit.
Figured you'd find me eventually, Brennus said.
Well, it looks like you got the last part right at least, since here we all are again. You talk to this fella back here? Soria asked, tilting her head in the direction of the piper as he continued playing.
His name is Hoyen or something, not Tran, Brennus said. I paid him and everything.
Brennus saw from the corner of his eye that Rikashi was shaking his head with his eyes closed.
How much? Soria asked.
50 ekels, he said, Rikashi replied.
Soria grinned.
I told him you would handle it when you found us, if you would not mind.
Rikashi swept a hand in the direction of the musician. Soria walked over and began speaking with a man in Keshi. Immediately the music stopped. Brennus watched. The first words the piper spoke were ones Brennus had heard a few Keshi say when first speaking to Soria. He still had no idea their meaning, or spelling, for that matter. But they had to mean something more than hello. The conversation was brief, and ended with Soria dropping a fistful of coins into the piper's bowl.
Let's go find a room somewhere, Soria said when she returned. We have plans to make.
She turned to leave, but Brennus caught her by the arm.
What was that everyone calls you? Brennus asked.
He tried to mimic the Keshi words. Soria winced.
Assuming you hadn't just made the 6 dead princes cry with your butchery of their language, it would mean Red Lady.
What you actually said was Far Cook, which I'm pretty sure is gibberish, Soria said. She started off into the crowd, and Brennus and Rikashi fell in behind.
Her hair isn't that red to make a name of it, is it? Brennus asked.
It isn't the hair, Rikashi said. It's the hands.
So that fella in the market was Hojan, like he said. Tran owns that corner, but he hasn't been around, so Hojan is keeping it warm for him, and probably earning twice his normal tips playing there, Soria told them.
They had rented an upper floor room in the tallest inn they could find, with a window that faced the setting sun.
Does he know where Tran is? Brennus asked.
Soria smiled and nodded.
Great, let's go find out where Abelay and Thomas have gone.
That's the beauty of it. We don't actually need to talk to Tran. Tran was the answer, not the informant. He's playing on retainer, up there.
Soria pointed out the window to a hilltop manor set on the outskirts of the city. The inn's vantage allowed them a clear view of it.
Who lives there? Brennus asked.
Lady Skal is there presently. It is a winter home for when the weather in the south grows too cold for comfort.
It would normally only be occupied by caretakers this time of year, but it has guests.
Lady Skal and her foreign guests, Rikashi ventured.
And more guards than usual, Soria said.
So it's a trap, Brennus said.
It was not a question.
Looks that way, Soria agreed.
We should hit them tonight, before they decide to move the trap further south on us. They know we will chase them.
Wait, what if the information you got was wrong? We could burst in on an armed noble estate and be caught totally in the wrong.
We should scout out the building and see who's inside first, Brennus said.
It's late afternoon. In a few hours we can get in there and look around.
You mean I could, Soria stated.
She crossed her arms and gave Brennus a skeptical look.
Rikashi's none too subtle, but you're a lost cause. Besides, I don't want you going about anywhere without that armor. You just aren't the swordsman to fight unprotected.
Fine, you go, but we need it to be soon.
No deal. We trust the Piper's word and go tonight. Right or wrong, the consequences are the same for attacking a noble lady's house in the middle of the night. If we waste a night doing reconnaissance, we might as well pay their carriage fare south for them. All we have right now is surprise.
We should have horses ready for our escape. Fresh ones, Rikashi said.
Soria nodded. Good thought. We should stable them just north of the manor. Get 5, assuming they both can ride.
What if the Piper tips them off that we know about them? Brennus asked.
That would be a bold bet by the Piper with little to gain if he's right. I pay him plenty for information, and if he gets me killed, that dries up for good. If he tries and fails, well, that just wouldn't be healthy for him.
She has a reputation, you see, Rikashi reminded him.
I get it. The Pipers are more afraid of you than this Lady Skal.
Well, that's what I'm betting on anyway.
Dusk spread over Kjal Jal on a clear night with just a few lazy clouds to block the stars. 5 horses wickered and fidgeted, not yet used to the smell of their new owners. The steeds had not been stabled at all, but instead were tethered to a row of trees planted around Lady Skal's estate. The sapling maples looked just thick enough that a startled horse might not be able to uproot them.
Kithek Indu Yixoi Hikidu,
Soria muttered, clasping her hands in a bubble and expanding them outward. Everyone paused. The wind rustled in the leaves of the maples. Brennus and Rikashi shared a glance.
I can still...
I know,
Soria snapped.
Shut up and I'll try again. Kithek Indu...
I think it's Imdu, Brennus interrupted.
Ixoi Hekidu,
Soria finished. She repeated the gesture, but nothing happened. She swiveled her head to face Brennus, fire in her eyes.
I don't do this often, all right? I'll get it.
Just keep your voice down, Rikashi reminded her. We are attempting to avoid noise, not create it.
Kithek Imdu Ixoi Hakidu,
Soria chanted. This time, when she parted her cupped hands, the wind stopped. Or rather, the sound of the wind in the trees stopped. The final gasps of springtime still washed over the skin with a pleasant tickle.
Brennus said, his mouth moving but no sound issuing forth.
Soria replied, guessing what Brennus had tried to say and pointing to the estate wall, her part done for the moment. Brennus drew Avalanche from its sheath and poked a hole in the stone wall. Mortar crumbled and cut stone blocks cracked like poorly fired pottery. He waved the blade about and cleared a section wide enough for all of them to pass without a struggle, aside from the need to scramble over the pile of wall rubble. Within the estate grounds, they found themselves in a garden. Tended fruit trees were planted all about with flowers whose petals appeared as little more than shades of gray in the moonlight. A path to the rear entrance of the manor house was easily visible.
Blah, blah. Ah, there we go. Can everyone hear again?
Soria asked. Brennus and Rikashi nodded.
Fine then. Rikashi, you hold the rear entrance. I'll clear the ground floor and hold the front.
We'll stop anyone escaping and take care of any of the guards who try to lend aid from the outside. Brennus, you search the upper floors. Kill anyone who...
I'll take it from there. I know a thing or two about command. I'll use my own judgment on who needs killing, Brennus said.
Soria glared, but did not press him. The three of them dashed for the rear entrance, all pretense of stealth lost as Brennus clattered across the grounds in his armor. They had nothing but force of arms and the element of surprise left to them. Two guards met them as they approached the rear gate and shouted the alarm. Soria rushed past them and shouldered her way through the door as Rakashi cut them down. The guards' swords seemed paltry defense against his ruined half-spear. Brennus lumbered along behind, mindful of the slick blood on the manor steps that spread as he approached. Once inside, he saw three more guards lying dead or dying in the parlor, as well as a manservant who had chosen a poor time to be in the way. Brennus swept his gaze about and decided that the front of the manor was his best wager to find the stairs going up. He heard a clatter from the kitchens, crockery vying with screams to drown each other out. Shouts in Keshi echoed throughout the stone walls of the manor, lending to the chaos. Brennus arrived at the front doors before Soria had a chance to reach them. Presumably she was off somewhere terrorizing the kitchen staff. A pair of honor guard in formal livery held halberds at the ready to meet him, leveled point forward like spears. Brennus strode straight toward them, avalanche leading. A shout from above and behind him caught Brennus's attention. The two halberd-wielding guards had been edging forward to meet him, but stopped short. He spared a quick glance and saw four Keshi men with muskets aimed down at him.
No wonder the door guards held back.
One of the gunners, now with Brennus's full attention, shouted again.
I really have to learn this language.
Glancing to either side, he saw a pair of stairways that led up to meet at the landing.
Hello, Brennus called up to the landing. Do any of you speak Akkardian?
Brennus watched carefully, and saw one of the gunners turn to another and ask something. Figuring that two distracted gunners were the best chance he would get, Brennus whirled and closed the distance to the halberdiers. He batted away their axe-like blades, snapping one off at the head, and wrenching the other from its owner's grasp.
Crack, 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 crack!
The gunners loosed their shots at Brennus. He felt nothing, unsure of whether his sudden action had spoiled their aim, or if Liad's armor had cushioned the blows to the point where he felt nothing at all. Brennus spared little time finding out. One of the halberdiers had stumbled over himself in an effort to escape, while the other stood his ground with nothing but his weapon's shaft. Brennus rushed the man and swatted him to the ground with the back of his gauntlet, then turned to run for the stairs. Muskets were slow, cumbersome weapons, but were generally given credit for being able to put a lead shot through the best smithed armor coin could buy. Had any of the four gunners expected their target to survive the volley, it was still unlikely that they would have gotten their weapons reloaded in time for a second shot. As Brennus raced up one set of stairs, the gunners made their escape down the other. Brennus paid them little heed.
Abele, Thomas, we are here to rescue you, Brennus called out. We were sent by Lord Harwick to bring you home.
Brennus made a search of the second floor, repeating his shout when corridors met. He opened every door, finding no one save for a few cowering household servants, none of whom showed any sign of understanding Akkardian. The stairs up to the third floor yielded even less encouraging results. The Lord's floor was a shamble of unmade beds and empty wardrobes, with clothing left strewn about. Brennus looked more thoroughly in the guest room that seemed to have had a female occupant. Kyrus had known Abelay before she owned any finery, but when he held up a discarded silk dress, he could imagine it about her. The size and proportion looked right enough to him, even if he knew little about women's clothing.
The stables are empty,
Rakashi's voice shouted up from below.
They knew,
Brennus whispered to himself.
Well, I was right and I was wrong, Soria both bragged and admitted at once. The Piper didn't sell us out, but someone sent word ahead of us. Lady Skahl left probably sometime while we were in the marketplace, best I can figure. Maybe a little later.
The gate guards? Brennus suggested. No way to be sure. None of this lot knew. I'm guessing not, though, since they'd be too easy to corner if we wanted to take some of their parrot coins back from them, Soria replied. They stood in the wine cellar of the Skal estate, speaking freely in Akkadian in front of dozens of servants and a few guards who had surrendered. Their prisoners were tied back to back in pairs, where they would remain until someone came to investigate the manor and found them. Maybe they were counting on us being too busy to deal with them. I have no plans to go back to the northern gate for vengeance, Brennus said. Back when we used to work around here, I would have... Yes, Rakashi cut off Soria's memories of vengeance past. But tonight we sleep on the road. We must retrieve our horses and be gone. We have gotten all we need from these, and spent too long in doing so. Rakashi swept a hand to indicate their prisoners, and then hurried up the stairs. Soria just behind him. Halfway up, Soria paused and looked back. Stop that, Brennus chided her. I can see a look in your eyes that says you'd like to spill a few barrels of wine and light the whole cellar in our wake. No. Soria scrunched her nose and glared back at Brennus, but did not deny his claim. Only 3 horses, not 5, rode out the southern gate of Kjaljal that night. The guards stood, eyes to the southern road, and ignored them as they galloped by.